The following program is an exclusive Disruption Networks production.
Disruption Network and First Source Federal Credit Union have teamed up to help support the Central New York Veterans Outreach Center Sunday, April 28th from noon to 4 p.m. Located at the Veterans Outreach Center, 726 Washington Street in Utica. There will be food, live entertainment, raffles, live podcasting from the D, and an appearance by Audie from the Utica Commons. We are looking for donations of clothes, non-perishable food items, furniture, toiletries, hygiene products, or a minimal cash donation of $5 at the door day of event. All ages are welcome. For more information on donation, drop-off locations, and entertainment lineup, please check out DisruptionNetwork.net. Disrupting Hunger, Sunday, April 28th, brought to you by First Source Federal Credit Union.
Tax season is here, and First Source wants to help you be prepared. Our friends at Furley, Moran, Freer, and Issa have given us some great tax tips to share. Read the blog at fsource.org for helpful answers to your tax questions and feel better prepared before you file. First Source members can also receive a discount on TurboTax software. Be ready for tax season with help from your friends. File smarter, live smarter with First Source. Membership requirements apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Baseline is back with all new episodes every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Disruption Network. The complete rundown of news and notes around Major League Baseball. Get caught up with fantasy rankings, predictions, league leaders, standings, and more. Join JP and SPG as they bring you original segments like Three Up, Three Down, The Haps on the Haps, Tip of the Cap, and The Field Report.
Don't find yourself out of the Baseline.
Join the Baseline every Sunday night, all season long, only on the D.
Hey, it's Cassidy, and you're listening to Disruption Network.
So you just bought your dream home, and now it's time to move. Let's face it, nobody likes to move. All the packing, unpacking, lifting, upstairs, downstairs, and broken everything, including your back. Let the professionals at EJA Moving Company take all the stress and pain out of your move. Competitively priced moving. Relocation services, office moves, and complete packing and unpacking services. They work with everybody to make it simple and easy for you to move and relocate. Call EJA Moving Company at 315-335-0516. When it's time to relocate, have EJA Moving do all the work for you. Hit them up online, ejamoving.com.
Hey, Disruption Network. This is Mike Sacco, the general manager at Nye Volkswagen of Rome. If you don't know me by name, it's only because you have not received the best deal. There's only one reason to leave Utica, and that's to come see me in Rome and get the best deal on your next new, pre-owned, or certified VW. Mention that you heard this ad from Disruption Network and receive $250 off your next vehicle purchase. You'll know why our customers say, I love my Nye VW. Come see us at 5865 Rome Taberg Road in Rome or visit us online at nyevwofrome.com.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
The Disruption Network is making moves. For upcoming events, news, interviews, and new daily programming, keep in the loop with us at DisruptionNetwork.net. Like, follow, and subscribe to all our social media. And check out all our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Get up on the D. DisruptionNetwork.net.
Welcome to EC Radio Podcast. We would like to thank all of our sponsors for joining the Disruption team, and we hope that you will support all of our sponsors. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this program.
EC Radio Disruption Networks.
It's the Hump Day Hoedown edition of EC Radio. How are you, people? We're about to have a rootin' tootin' good time here on Disruption Network. Yeah! Is that the Clayville chant right there?
It's the Clayville Chippewa.
I'll tell you, man.
I will tell you, I have a ton of friends and a ton of listeners from the Sequoia Clayville area.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to be tuning in just a little bit, but you got to give them their...
Shout out to the hometown. Yee-hee!
That, yee! Is that the new... before it used to be woo-woo, I think, back in the day.
Yeah.
But anyways, it is...
Valley Indian right there.
Right? Yeah. It's me, Z. How are you? Hope you're enjoying your Wednesday. Time to disrupt your afternoon with some Utica coffee. Wake the hell up, Utica. WakeTheHellUp.com. We're drinking pistachio coffee today. I've been drinking it all week. What do you think about it?
So this is the first time I've ever had any pistachio coffee ever.
Really?
Dude, so freaking fresh.
Yeah.
That is really on point. It's not overwhelming like you might think. Like I find pistachio ice cream a little like too much pistachio. This is like, can't even tell, dude. It's like a nice smooth roast. This is really good.
I'm a fan of all things pistachio, and I think this is the perfect blend of pistachio and caffeine.
Excellent.
And man, this is some good stuff. If you want to taste the best coffee in the world, hit up Utica Coffee. You can find them at wakethehellup.com. And also check out their awesome, cool little coffee shop that they have on Genesee Street there. I'm usually there a couple times a week, getting my coffee, getting my fix, if
That's
you will.
That's where I did my Christmas shopping. I'm like, let me just get 9 pounds. just distribute through the stocking. Right?
Did you have to mail any of it out?
No.
That's
no.
a good thing.
They got it fresh,
Because if you had to mail it out, people would think you're under suspicion for something.
I know, right? What's in the coffee? Open it up.
So thank you to all my friends over at Utica Coffee. And also thanks to my friends at Nye Volkswagen in Rome. Mention the D, $250 off any vehicle purchase at Nye Volkswagen Rome. Check them out online, NyeVWofRome.com. Also, big love to EJA Moving Services. And also, coming up, we're Disrupting Hunger with our friends from First Source Federal Credit Union. Disrupting Hunger, Sunday, April 28th, happening at the Veterans Outreach Center. Now, if you guys are interested in donating, we have drop-off boxes located all throughout First Source Federal Credit Union branches, as well as we have a couple of other branches out there, and you can find out where you could drop off your donations by visiting our website at disruptionnetwork.net. We're looking for non-perishable food items, clothes, toiletries, hygiene products, furniture, pretty much any basic home necessity that you're looking for. They'll take furniture. They'll take whatever. They will take whatever. And then we're having a big old party at the Veterans Outreach Center April 28th. So come on down. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have music and food and raffles, and Audie's going to stop down and take pictures with the kids. So it's going to be a good time. Thank you to our friends at First Source Federal Credit Union for helping us disrupt hunger. So Zach Bonanza in the house with us. Hey. Zach's got a cool little podcast. How long have you been doing your podcast for now?
Only like 2 months.
2 months?
It's about 2 years in the making.
I got you.
Yeah.
Lost Guidance Podcast. You can check it out pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts, right? You're on iTunes and Google Play.
Not
you know?
iTunes, yeah. In the process of the iTunes thing, I'm on SoundCloud. You can find me, my Twitch channel. So we go live every Sunday. I usually have a guest on discussing. So the whole underlying theme of the podcast is... you know, nobody gave us a map. We're all just here wandering through life, hoping we're doing the right shit, man. And I think sometimes just hearing stories like something like this, you know, hearing the input of either local people, famous people, doesn't really matter. Sometimes just hearing the story of somebody else's, you know, triumphs or whatever, that's enough to help you in life. You know, like you get, you know, people listen to inspirational shit because they get something out of it. And so that's what I found is like just sitting down, having conversations with people, I get something out of it. I find that it's very... you know, absorbing for me. Like I get really interested in what they're saying, all the different details. All my guests each have a different, really awesome aspect about them that has guided them through life. And there's something to be, you know, received and taken out of people's stories. So that's what it is. So every Sunday we go live, 2 o'clock on Twitch. You can find us also on Facebook, Instagram. I say us, but I just mean me, obviously.
Right. Well, you got to make it sound like you got an organization. Like I always say us too, but it's just me.
Right. It's like a baby you're carrying with you. You know, you're like, we're here. It's us. YouTube and everything. So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, there's something really awesome about just telling stories, sharing ideas. And each week I've had on somebody with a different, you know, different underlying something in their life. So last week I had on Laura Ratcliffe, who is the owner and operator of Oh Baby Sandwich Shop. If you guys haven't seen the episode and this is the first time you're hearing of Lost Guidance, check it out. That woman has overcome, you know, adversity, you know, challenges in the local food industry.
She works her ass off.
She is a hard fucking worker, dude.
She is.
And I admire the hell out of her work ethic. And but not only that, her bubbly and just like great personality.
Yeah, yeah.
It was an excellent episode. Each episode's somewhere in the vicinity of like an hour or more. So she was just talking about all the things that go into, you know, creating a business, especially when she is such a passionate artist. And so she's like really into like I see her on Facebook and stuff doing like watercolors and acrylics. And so I asked her, like, how much does, like, something as simple as your artwork love feed into it? She goes, that's where I get my designs for my shop and why I look so funky in there. And that's where that's where I get my menu designs. And yeah. I'm like, that's so amazing. You never would have thought somebody who just has a hobby for it and is a business owner is incorporating those two things. So someone else who might be starting a business is who likes art. Maybe they take that from Laura and they incorporate it into their own business or something, you know?
She's definitely got some pizzazz.
Yeah, yeah. She adds that little spice to the area. Yeah. And like she was saying, you know, I think we're all kind of sick of that 1970s Italian restaurant kind of feel with the fake garland and the plants. And
the checkerboard tablecloth.
Yeah, and dark tan walls. Yeah, exactly. I think we're all kind of over it.
It's like a Billy Joel song.
Yeah, seriously. Brenda Benetti, they were still going steady in the summer, you know? But that's just it. So she kind of opened my eyes to like what it's like to be a local business owner around here and really have to step up your game. So that's just one of many of the examples that I've had of my guests, stories that have kind of inspired me, open up my eyes. So
a lot of the inspiration coming out of the world today is being driven by podcasts these days. It's like the biggest trend going on in the world. Like how many millions of people are listening to podcasts each year, and those numbers are increasing by the day.
I was going to ask you, when do you remember first watching podcasts or listening to them?
My first one was probably Rogan.
Rogan, right, a couple years ago. And he's obviously like the elite, you know, top two podcasts in the world.
I got to think about this.
Right? Like a long time, like a couple years back, you'd start hearing about, and I remember scrolling on my old iPod and being like, oh, a podcast, what the fuck's that, you know? Mm-hmm. But nothing really came out of it. And then all of a sudden, like I'd say maybe 3-4 years ago, everybody, until now, everybody I know watches podcasts now.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, you can be hanging out at a bar and like, yo, did you see that Joe Rogan, especially Joe Rogan?
Uh-huh.
Or did you see, you know, hey, have you listened to this like murder series podcast or things like that? And I'm like, how did everyone just click on the podcast so quick? And like you said, it's just blown up millions of different topics.
And it's getting bigger.
Yeah, it is.
It's getting there. There's millions of podcasts to choose from nowadays. And but, you know, there's niche podcasts or there's everyday podcasts, sports podcasts, music podcasts, whatever. Anything that you fancy, you can get a podcast on it. And I encourage people to do podcasts. Everybody has a great story.
Absolutely.
Out there, and everybody should document their story. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you went through adversity or your education or whatever got to. Whatever the journey that you took to get to the point where you are today.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And I think it's very important to get that out there. And, you know, plus it's kind of a good psychological thing, too, because you get things off your chest as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've had guys on here, like, literally break down and cry sometimes. I'm like, really? I can't believe I just said that to you, Z.
Really?
And, yeah, it's happened a couple times.
Dude, I tell you,
and it's amazing. I love that.
They get you into it. Yeah. You know? Like, when you start hearing, you know, same with me, dude. And that's, you nailed it right on the head, Z. I couldn't agree with you more. It's like, and this is kind of what I'm bringing, and you as well, and Bowie, who was here the other day, that's what people like us bring to the table. In a market that's getting so saturated with content, there's a lot of nicheness, there's a lot of general podcasts, but like something like this, like a local Utica-style podcast where people have a platform to really share their stories, celebrities are cool and everything, but like I want to know like how Laura came from overcoming a brain tumor to running one of the most successful sandwich shops in town. That's a story that I want to hear.
Exactly.
And like, you know, it is good to get things off your chest. Sometimes people just kind of dwell in their own mindset and that can cause a lot of internal toxicity, things like that. Whether you're the host or a guest, just speaking freely, scheduling that 1 or 2 hours a day or a week to just sit down and look someone in the eye the way we are and just talk with them and like, hey, dude, let's share this moment, this conversation. Let's share this story. Let's fucking connect over this. That's what's so inspiring and powerful to me, you know?
Yeah, and that's some of the things we'd like to get across to here is to inspire and educate, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing that we just want to get it out there. And it, like we do the Abogaine thing about the Iboga plant and stuff like that. We want people to know what they're missing out on.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the mainstream media doesn't give you the facts anymore. It's just their agenda and that's it.
Absolutely.
Whether you're right wing or left wing, they give you their side of the agenda, but there's never anybody really down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not that we try to get into politics, because it's the one thing I do not try to do on this show is get into politics.
Right, yeah.
Because you do pigeonhole yourself and then you'll lose listeners.
Yeah.
For doing, and believe it or not, we're in that day and age where you know, you can't discuss politics or it's going to break up a friendship or like families battle over
it
and stuff like that.
Or slander you all over the internet.
Or slander you all over the internet, yeah. Which is a could be a double-edged sword yeah. sometimes, that internet, I'll yeah, tell you. As we're live on the internet now. Like, oh, that Z thinks he knows what the hell he's talking about. But yeah, that's but getting the podcast out there and telling your story and getting it documented and be inspiring and try to do good in your community, yes. You know, and that's one of the things we definitely preach around here.
And you guys are, you are the star example of the area, I got to say, and kudos to you and everybody who works part of the team. I know been on the D-line before with Caleb and Chicken and Sill.
I'm sorry you had to be with those guys.
No, man.
They're
great guys. They're a bunch of, you know, chumps sometimes. They're Bear and Jets fans.
I'm sure you walked out a little more dumber than you already were.
It's really great because you guys get on a variety of guests. You have a variety of listeners. You're attending a variety of events. You're doing the Disrupt Hunger. You're offering promotions at Nye Volkswagen. You're all over the board, which is so awesome. You're taking what's otherwise just a local podcast where we talk to people and saying, nah, we do this to the next level, baby. It's exponentially greater. And so kudos to you. Like,
thank you.
I saw that. The Ibogaine one, I'm like, who'd have thunk? That would be like a Monday's guest or something, you know? And then today you're having another podcast. Or you had, what was the one last week that you had that was really cool?
Don Shipman.
Yeah, Don Shipman.
From WQTV. Yeah.
Like, it's so awesome that you're getting, like you said, you're offering a little bit to everybody and you're getting a little bit of everybody's story. And I think it diversifies, broadens your listening horizon and everything. So kudos to you guys.
Well, the one thing we wanted to get out of everybody's mind frame and thinking, because people hear podcasts, they think, you know, you're doing it like out of their garage or something like that. I wanted to take it to another level. My background's radio. I grew up doing radio in the 90s and worked at K-Rock and WOUR back in the day. Yeah, I started at the old Rock 107.
Really?
It's probably way before your time,
cool,
kid.
Man. I didn't know that. I didn't know you were on radio.
Oh, yeah, and that's where I got my start. And then after that, went in and opened up the bar and just totally dissed radio and started playing music. And then now I'm back into it because it's always been a passion of mine.
Yeah.
I always wanted to do something that's – and now that podcasts are so popular, I can voice my – opinion if I wanted to, and I can get it out there whether people want to hear it or not. I don't care. I'm still gonna broadcast it, whether people want to listen or not. I don't care, because this is a passion of mine. This is something that's in my soul that I need to do. It's like a demon inside that I need to like relinquish every day.
That's exactly how I feel, man. Like, I guess it's cool too, because you know, maybe 5-10 years ago it would have been a million listeners. And if you're not appealing to some of them, you probably won't be heard. Now there's 14, 15, 20 million listeners. So if I don't get some of the people listening to me, somebody out there has to want to hear what I have to say.
Because, yeah.
But I found it so – is that our man Bowie? What's going on, buddy? it's very much a passion of mine as well. And that's kind of what got me started. In addition to my friend Bowie pushing me over the edge and saying, just pull the trigger and do it. I always felt – and I said this on my show before. I was blessed with two gifts. The gift of gab, I can talk for hours, man. Just go. And I can talk to pretty much everybody, you know? And I think that's because of my second gift. I feel like I'm an empathetic person. I feel like I'm able to relate, understand, process, and, like, adjust my conversation based on the person I'm talking to. You know, like, I wouldn't talk to you the same way I'm talking to, you know, like a pastor or something. Or my great aunt Susan, you know, like you adjust. Some people don't. My brother's a very blunt person. He's going to tell you how he feels. Doesn't matter who you are. You know, you could be the president, you could be a homeless guy. It doesn't matter. So I'm very much like a person who recognizes the situation and we'll just talk and kind of run down the rabbit hole with it. And I see that in you as well. A lot of podcasters do that. They have the ability to really harness like storytelling, and just conversing is not a gift that everybody has, I guess. And so it's kind of awesome that we're blessed with something like that, you know?
Yeah, sometimes I get a guest on here, they totally freeze.
Yeah.
And it'd be people who have a bubbly personality or somebody I've hung out with before in the past. But when they get in front of that microphone and around the cameras, they just freeze up.
They don't want to say the wrong thing.
They don't want to say the wrong thing or maybe incriminate themselves. Or, you know, sometimes I got a lot of dirt on people too, you know. Those people got dirt on me as well. I mean, but I'm not afraid. No. But, yeah, some people can't handle that, you know. But then you get people such as yourself, and they could come in and hang out and hold a conversation and talk about absolutely nothing. Because we're going to talk about absolutely nothing today.
I know, and that's what's awesome.
But we're not going to talk about anything.
But at the same time, people get something out of that. Like, people are like, man, I'm going to go start a podcast. These guys are freaking doing it.
And you know what, Zach? I'm glad you said that, because I'm hoping, like, after this podcast is done with you and I, that maybe somebody will go out and start their own podcast. Seriously. Or hit us up here at the D. We do have studio rentals if you want to come and rent out the studio, and maybe you're an inspiring podcaster. You could come in here, rent out the studio, and we have a beautiful facility that people can use.
I mean, I think people can see it's like legit. This is as legit as it can be. So,
but yeah, I hope that after we're done with this, people were like, hey, let's start up a podcast or something.
Me too, man. And I have a buddy. My first guest was my friend Matt Lewis, and he was actually my 10th guest. Luckily, because Caleb was supposed to come on, and he kind of had some work shit come up.
He was hungover.
I'm going to have him come on.
Let's
he was a little probably.
Cut the chase. He was hungover.
Drinking them Svedka in the plastic cups that he does. But
it's good that you can have a friend that you can always fall back on, just in case you do have a guest that cancels, because it happens.
Yeah, exactly. He's my, like, if you and I were tight enough that I could just text you on a Sunday, be like, yo, I need a last minute guest, that's who this kid is to me. Mm-hmm. And he has a great story. He has been riding dirt bikes his whole life, doing motocross races and stuff, and he's undergone, like, 4 major injuries. He's got swollen discs in his back. He snapped his femur in 2 places last year. I mean, he's gone through the gauntlet, and after we did that episode 1, me and him were just like so giddy. Like, we get done and we're like, yeah, man. Like, all that, you know, testosterone bumped through us. Like, yeah, we did a podcast. And like a couple weeks later, he goes, dude, don't be upset, man. But I've been thinking about starting a podcast. I go, upset? I'm so freaking happy to hear that you want to do a podcast.
Right.
Because he's like, you know, I'm so passionate about motocross. I'm in the motocross community. There is no motocross Utica area podcast, but there is so much motocross in the area. Unadilla, all these local races and stuff. I'm like, dude, do it. I'll tell you everything I know. And that's a community I want to breed. And that's why I love seeing like us intermingling like this. You know, having this crossover is amazing.
Exactly. And we need to cross promote too. That's the other thing, especially in the area. We're all in this community together. And that's a good idea. You cross or a motocross podcast.
I'd listen to it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure there's people out there. And there's a great motocross community in this area.
Yeah.
There is. It has been for many, many, many years.
I think it's actually getting bigger almost. Like, I see more and more kids getting into it, you know? I don't know why, but it's cool.
Was it Gary Vee that says, take whatever you love and pound it to death?
Yeah.
Was that Gary Vee? I couldn't remember if it was Gary Vee or Joe Rogan or one of those influencers.
Yeah.
But that's what they were preaching. Like, you take whatever you love, and if you're very knowledgeable on, say, a motocross or something, take that and run with it. Take the ball and run and deliver content. And, you know, you might inspire, you might get somebody involved in the motocross, or you might get somebody back into motocross again.
Yeah.
You know, we're using motocross as an example.
Right. But it could be anything.
It could be anything. Right.
Yeah,
and we talked about it earlier, too. There's a lot of niche podcasts out there.
Yeah.
Right now, you know?
And so that's one thing. Like, when I was starting my show, I knew I wanted it to, like I said, this is like 2 years in the making. Like, 2 years ago, I was hanging out with this kid who I don't really speak with anymore, but he was like, you know, dude, you're a great talker. You just know how to, you have the gift of gab, you know, just, and then I was telling him how I love Joe Rogan and I was really getting into podcasts. He's like, we should just fuck around and do something like that. And so I went out and bought like a single Shure mic. I bought my interface and I just had my crappy old Dell laptop, which doesn't even function anymore. And I'm like, yeah, let's try it, you know? And I didn't know what I wanted it to be. I didn't have a title. I just wanted to sit down and talk with people, you know? And in my mind, I'm like, man, everybody does that. I'm not going to be Joe Rogan. But then I was like, why can't I just be happy with what I do? Why can't I just sit down and talk with people, right?
Right.
Does it need to be niche? Is that its own niche? So a little bit of time and working with it. When I started, I was like, man, everything I did, I was like, this is shitty sound quality. Like we were talking before the show, once you start getting into recording and then stopping and editing it, you nitpick the hell out of yourself, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why I like doing it live, so I don't edit. So I don't have to. You do minimal editing whatsoever, and because I'd get in my head too much.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And I'm the same way. I'd be like, oh, that's a little buzz. Oh, what's that clicking noise?
Yeah.
Let me edit. Yeah.
I shouldn't have dropped the F-bomb there. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, and I'd get too much into my head.
And I do that all the time. I'm like, I say the too much or like or fuck, you know, and I say that once in a while. But
right.
Hope you don't mind me saying that in this one. I've already said it 5 times.
You've been counting? No, actually, I prefer it. I prefer it.
I think
swear
it loosens
away.
Up bones.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Man.
So I was like, you know, let me just take a step back from it. A lot of things happen. And then I end up meeting Bowie, you know, Adipicola Abiola, our main man here.
Wow, you could say his whole name.
Adipicola Abiola. Dude, I love the kid's name. I would never forget it. Oh, there he is.
I love the kid.
Adipicola Abiola, my man. So. Yeah, and what's the middle name? Adipicola Bolafola Abiola. Boom!
Wow, that's a lot of syllables.
Yeah.
That's a lot of syllables.
I know it is.
He's a gem, though, man. And actually, indirectly, you're the reason why we caught up with Bowie. You brought Bowie to our anniversary party.
At the Dev, yes.
At the Dev. And it's been a match made in heaven ever since.
Yeah, no.
He just gave me a great lesson on IGTV. Like, he's been teaching me so much. He's been teaching me so much, and it's almost too much to process everything, so I'm going to have him. And I was like, Bowie, we should write this down. He goes, no, you don't have to write this down. We're watching a video. You can always go back to the video.
Yeah.
No need to write it down. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm old school. I want to take notes
Yeah. I mean, I could sit and have like a 1 hour college class session with this kid just about what he knows, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so he's actually the one that got me into it. He had been working at the place that I'd worked, and I told him, I was like, yeah, I always wanted to do a podcast. It's cool that you do one. He goes, dude, do it. He's like, you know what? Don't even think about it. Just do it. He goes, you know what? We're going to get together. We're going to collaborate. I'm going to come over. I'm going to help you set it up. We're going to do it. Sure shit. Sunday came around. My man Bowie comes over. We set up the whole thing. We get the page rolling. And at this time, I pieced together my name, Lost Guidance. And I was like, you know, I think it's a cool name. It's kind of a conundrum. It's like, how can you be lost and give guidance? Well, that's everybody, dude. I don't know what's going to happen when I leave here today. I can get into an accident. I could win $1 million. But I'm just out here living it. And if I have a piece of advice for you, I'll give it. Like, this is what I know, I think. There's no proof. It's not in the records. It's not in a textbook anywhere what to do in life. So I was like, Lost Guidance. It's kind of a cool name, a good conundrum, you know? So, you know, we start piecing it together. There goes the Lost Guidance Facebook page, then the YouTube channel. It all starts coming to be, man. And before I know it, I was just like you said, this passion started igniting in me. Like, the thing that made me want to do it before was this flame now erupting, dude. And I'm like, it's on. I have guests lined up all the way till June. I have like great new content, different spinoff type stories and shows I want to do.
Beautiful.
It's so awesome, dude. It really is. This podcast thing is amazing.
The other thing I love about podcasts too is there's really no time restraints.
That's true.
You know, like sometimes, and I've done the media circuit many times, and you go to, say, KTV or IBX or one of those radio television stations, and they give you like 5 minutes. You know, or you go, and Keeler's a mentor of mine, and I love Bill Keeler to death. But you go on a show, he gives you like 15 minutes, which he's the one that you get the most amount of time out of because it's more of talk show format,
right.
Where the other ones, you're in and out. Mm-hmm. You know, you're very in and out. But I'm sorry, I'm getting messages over. People, stop texting me right now. I forgot my train of thought. You have no you have no time restraints when you come onto a podcast.
Right.
You know, you could tell your story. You've got no restraints. You sit there, tell your story, long conversation, and that's the beauty of it. And that's another thing that I tell like sponsors and stuff like too, like it's a long format, so we could talk all day about what you're providing or what you're offering or any of that. And then the other thing is too is your podcast, my podcast, Bowie's podcast, all those podcasts, they're gonna outlive all of us.
Yeah.
You know, you think about it. That's
totally.
They're going to be here for forever and ever and ever until there's no
more internet exists.
As long as there is an internet, those podcasts are going to exist, and they'll probably outlive all of us.
That's true. And you know, I was even thinking about this in a couple different senses. Like one, I just started this weight loss challenge, and mostly because I'm a fat ass, but also because there's a little bit of like a monetary and a little bit of a shit talk value to it.
Trying to cash in a little bit.
So I'm like, I can't wait to see 10 episodes from now when I'm slimmed down and I can care to compare it to Fatty in episode one, you know? But also, like, just looking back a year from now and see where my mindset was at and how I've progressed as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really cool. And my guests will also be able to do those things. Like, do I still feel the same way? So, yeah, it's really cool that it's a media platform that's going to stand the test of time and be – it could reach anywhere. Somebody in Indonesia could be watching it in a year.
Right.
You never know. So
I got thousands of downloads in Japan. I have no idea how.
Really?
I have no idea how.
That's awesome.
In fact, I just had a meeting yesterday, and the guy was like, so you could track everything that comes in? I'm like, yeah, here, look. And I showed him. I'm like, look, I got like 1,200 downloads in Japan. He goes, wow. And the thing about Japan is, and I did a little research, and what it is they're infatuated with American culture. And right now, American culture is podcasting and stuff like that.
That's
so
true.
They're trying to see what's going on in American culture. I don't know nobody in Japan. I don't know anybody.
Yeah. You
know, like, and there's 1,000 downloads in Japan. Well, thank you. Moshi moshi. You know? How do you say thank you in Japan?
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. And like you said, it's international. It could go anywhere.
Arigato.
Of course he knows how to speak Japanese.
It makes
of course.
Arigato. Yeah.
Arigato. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Arigato.
How many languages do you speak, Bowie? Come on, why don't you sit over here?
Yeah, come on.
Come on over.
Might as well, dude. Join in.
Yes. He's excited. Bowie, he's been on before a couple times.
Yeah. Make sure so much, everybody.
This ball of energy.
Yeah. Put that mic up. We're all three of us are balls of energy.
This is the Utica community.
Yeah, all three of us are balls of energy right now. So
wait, how many languages do you speak?
So I do you count English?
Yeah.
Okay,
of course.
So I speak Yoruba. Yoruba language is my parents' language from Nigeria. So Yoruba.
You speak that fluently?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
And now wait, with Yoruba, is it a dialogue, like a dialect in different parts of Nigeria?
No, it's specific
to
a tribe.
It's one language throughout the whole region.
It's specific to tribe. So my parents are from the Yoruba tribe.
Okay.
And we speak Yoruba in Nigeria. And there are many tribes in Africa. There are thousands upon
millions. Get close to the microphone.
So
it moves up. You can move
my
it.
Bad.
There you go.
Yeah. There are thousands of tribes in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Not in Nigeria, but there are millions of tribes in Africa. So my parents are from the Yoruba tribe. That's where my family's from. But the other two major tribes in Nigeria are the Hausa tribe and the Igbo tribe.
Okay.
And then there are millions of smaller tribes too. But those are the three major ones. So those are the majority. And so the Yoruba tribe speaks Yoruba. The Hausa tribe speaks Hausa. And then the Igbo tribe speaks Igbo.
Is there a communication
Oh yes,
barrier between the two of them.
Yeah, language barrier. So have you guys heard of the Age of Imperialism?
Yes.
So during the Age of Imperialism, Nigeria was colonized by the English, the mm-hmm. British, the British people. Mm-hmm. So the unifying language between the three tribes are English.
Really?
So the way the intertribal communication happens is through English.
Wow,
British
nice.
English. Yes.
So what else do you speak?
So I speak English, Yoruba. I also took Latin in high school and
Latin,
yes.
Hey, you know that's a dead language.
It is.
But
the thing is it's think about how
it's
many
like
Romance
the base.
Yes,
yeah, the
think
base of all
yeah,
languages.
So the Romance languages are
Spanish, Italian.
Yeah, it's Italian, English. Also Portuguese.
Portuguese, yeah.
Romanian, Romance, Romanian, definitely that.
Greek?
No, that's separate.
Okay.
Greek is Greek is separate from Romance, although we have certain words that come from Greco-Roman words.
Right.
It's amazing. Language is huge. I speak a little bit of Japanese because, you know, Nintendo's from Japan, Super Smash Bros.
So, you gotta communicate with the creators.
Yeah, so like if the creator of Super Smash Brothers comes on this podcast, I know a little bit of Japanese, so
okay.
I can somewhat like piece together what they're saying. And one of my good friends in college, we're best friends. He's half Japanese, and he's half Japanese, half Chinese. No, half Japanese, a quarter Mongolian, a quarter Chinese. But he's from Japan, and he tells me a lot of cool stuff. And then he's like, "If you ever need to go to Japan, just hit me up. We'll go together." So it's like,
wow.
So yeah, that's how
awesome,
I know Japanese.
Man.
It's awesome. Like this is exciting, man. This shit is so exciting. So that's how I know. Those are the languages I
those
speak.
Dave is saying Spanish, Portuguese, French, Italian, and Romanian.
Yeah.
Are the romantic languages?
We said all of that.
Dave, we did.
Dave Bandage, the D of the year.
Oh yeah,
my man.
Yeah. He's the most valuable
when we were
D.
At the dev. He's just talking to me, and I'm like busting this guy's chops. I turn around, I'm like, "Oh, you're a Browns fan?" He's wearing the Browns, you know. He's like, "Yeah," and I'm like, "Oh, dude, Steelers for life." And we just got chatting, just having a good time, and. You guys just call like Dave Bandish, and he goes, "All right, see you guys." And I'm like, "Oh, that's you?"
Yes!
I'm like, "Holy shit, dude, congrats."
Dave Bandage.
Our most valuable D. He's like our resident fact checker.
Yo, we got to have a podcast with them tomorrow.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, you know I lack in help, so I don't have – I can't go out looking for stuff. When we're doing the show, it takes away. I mean, I get distracted easy.
Oh, so he comes in and gives you the.
So he stays online and does it, you know.
Dude, Dave,
and he does it with the baseball show and the football show and
Dave,
and even the wrestling
to Lost
show.
Guidance podcast at 2:00 on Sundays. Help me out, man.
There you go. Now, when you do Lost Guidance, are you just on Twitch and YouTube? Do you mingle with Facebook at all or Twitter?
I don't do Facebook Live.
Periscope.
It's a little bit of a weird area. See, I've been doing live streams on Twitch, and then I upload to YouTube, and then I just share content via my Facebook and Instagram. I do like a lot of highlight reel, like 1 minute highlight reels of the show for Instagram stuff. And then I post all episodes on SoundCloud. You know, mm-hmm. So it's an MP3 platform. If you just want to listen, shut your phone off and walk away, because it's hard to do that on YouTube. But I've been doing the live stream on Twitch because it's just like another media platform.
Right.
Anybody who's on Twitch that might want to come over, or people who haven't, you know, mingled with Twitch much, can kind of get used to the media platform, and then I'm like, you know, here's something else. It's not just strictly video gaming, as we're seeing people like K-Rock and Dan Bilzerian even has their own Twitch channels.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, get into
Twitch is blowing up.
Yeah, it is. So I know Bowie was just kind of sharing with you how to kind of interdigitate your IGTV into your YouTube and Twitch, and so I think that's kind of my next step.
I'll share that with you later.
Is getting, you know, Facebook Live incorporated, doing host parties. I know you guys are very affluent with those.
I do that all the time.
So maybe, you know, we're gonna have a little powwow after this.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll share with you IGTV after this.
Yeah,
there's excellent. So much you can do with it.
He showed me so much things, and like within an hour, I had all this. It was mental overload for a second. Too much information to process at once.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But the beauty of videos, though, you could go back and watch.
Yeah,
them,
we can always go back and watch them, and we live in the digital age, and there's so much you can like capture right now. It's golden era for social media. You can capture it like right now. It's amazing.
Yeah. Right now, though, because we've had this conversation before too, Bowie.
Exactly.
Is someday down the road, social media might be extinct.
Yeah. Where does it go next?
And I was just watching a Gary Vaynerchuk video this morning, and he said that give it like in 2022, 2023, in like 5 to 6 years even, it's going to start like, it's like AI is going to start like picking up very fast.
So how is AI going to take over social media?
All right. So let's say, let's say I need to have my pool serviced, for example. I would go to an app, for example, and I would just schedule it on my app, right?
Okay.
Right now, this is 2019. In 2023, 2024, I can just say, Alexa, I want my pool serviced. And it just does it right away.
So it's AI, all voice learning. Recognition.
Voice recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be social cues. Like, let's say I snap my fingers, right? Mm-hmm. If I snap my fingers,
it'd be like the Fonz.
It's gonna immediately do it because I programmed it that way, and the machine learns. It's AI. Let's say I have an AI system set up in my entire house, right? And certain cues trigger certain things. So, like, let's say I walk into my house and then I just say, Alexa, YouTube, or I can just snap my fingers if I program it that way, or if I have someone set it up that I just snap my fingers and it boots up YouTube immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's like, so Gary Vaynerchuk said that in like 2022, 2023, like 5 to 6 years, it's already starting to happen. We're going to see like a boom in that. So,
right.
Which is why we need to capture social media now, because it's the golden
and
era.
Carry people over.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. I'm a promoter in the year of 2025.
Yes.
I've got a big show going on at the Stanley Theater.
Yes.
I want to promote it.
Yes.
But I don't have Facebook. How am I going to promote that show?
All right, so you're going to say Alexa or Siri or whatever voice recognition system you have. Let's say you set it up in your house. I got some time. Let's say you set it up in your house, and then you have the bandwidth, the internet bandwidth as well. All you have to do is say, I want to promote this show to Times Square on those big, huge screens, right? You just say it, and it's done.
Right. Oh, of course, there would be money, so monetary thing.
Yeah, of course. It's bandwidth, internet bandwidth, monetary stuff. It's going to be on that scale.
So you think it's almost like we're kind of in the process of acquiring our own AI machinery. You know,
like
we're slowly getting Roombas, Alexas, things that listen in on you and can cater to you
It's not just voice, but continue.
Right, right. So like you said, social, you know, snapping or whatever.
And facial recognition,
and
too.
And timing even. Like, you know, you could set up, I forgot what company it was. Maybe, I think it was Amazon, right? And they have these little buttons, and you just put a button on your fridge, and every time you need Bounty dish towels or whatever, you just push the button on your fridge and it sends them right to your house. It orders and sends them to you. It's like Amazon has all these various different buttons for products that you can just push the product button.
And then they're going to be having their drones out pretty soon too.
Drones
like
delivering, So I could see that maybe, I think maybe social media is just going to get easier. That's why we won't call it social media. Like, you're not actively going online, scrolling through things. It's just like you'll be sitting, like he said, on your TV and you'll just be like, Alexa, show me what Lost Guidance Podcast is doing, and then here's all Lost Guidance Podcast's content.
Okay.
So that's how
That's
how I would imagine it's kind of going to go. It's kind of crazy.
And even, like, you know how we have facial recognition? To go on a step further, you don't even have to say it. You can just do, let's say you have an AI system. If I smile a certain way, it's going to boot something up like that. Or if I blink, like three times, it's going to boot something like that.
Wow.
So, because you know we have facial recognition with the iPhone 10, Google Pixel, all these phones. So like, or let's say I roll my eyes a certain way, right? It's going to boot. It's going to boot a certain thing. So like, it's not just audio; it's also facial recognition as well. It's going to be huge.
Man, that stuff freaks me out.
Me too.
Bad. Yeah.
Like, there's definitely Big Brother in the sky, and we're being watched every second of the day, especially now that we all have phones.
It's almost to me like, how much data are they really acquiring? Because you saw that the San Francisco Bay killer. Mm-hmm. He's been at large for like 23 years. Just got caught because his cousin did 23andMe.
Wait, what happened?
Can you tell us what happened?
This guy has been at large in like the San Francisco Bay Area, killing people for like 23 years. Nobody could find him. They had his DNA from a crime scene, but he's someone who has never been arrested, so he's not in the system. It's just DNA. His cousin, who's very similar in composition of DNA, did 23andMe, sent his DNA. The FBI traced it, realized it's similar enough. It had to be a cousin to this person, and then basically by process of elimination found out who the killer was after 23 years.
Wow.
Isn't that freaking crazy? Look at you. Like, I got chills telling the story, dude. That's the world we live in. And my buddy Jimmy Wilson, he was on my third episode of my podcast. Mm-hmm. He made an astounding point I'd never even thought of. If we have that going on, it's just as equally likely that in 5-10 years, somebody takes all the data and all of your, you know, genomic makeup from like an insurance company, breaks it down and says, all right, well, you're at risk for hypertension in the next year or two. Your insurance premiums are higher. You know? And I was like, I never even thought of that. But the way that he's thinking from like a scientific perspective, I was like, oh my God, that's so possible.
Yeah.
So like all this stuff, like if I blink too many times, my robot's going to stand up and like make me a hot dog or something. That's like terrifying to me.
Well, you know, a lot of the talk has been like they're going to microchip everybody. And they don't really necessarily have to because we have these.
Yeah, I know. It's in my pocket.
Yeah, the chip is already in the pocket. Yeah,
I can imagine. Yeah. The next 25 years, my like, if I have kids or grandkids, they can have mind recognition. Like, that's crazy. Mind recognition, my kids and grandkids.
Mental telepathy type stuff, right?
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
I know, when you think like 2,000 years ago, the technology till now, nothing 2,000 years in the future.
Exactly. Where are we gonna be?
Shit, just in the last 20 years, technology has grown.
Exactly.
That's what also kind of scares me is like, I hope we don't kind of supersede ourselves, like go at too exponential of a rate that the technology goes too fast.
Yeah.
It's too much for us to handle is what
I'm
worried about.
Oh my God.
Because we're like, all right, phones aren't scary, but now it's like, all right, we're arresting serial killers based on a DNA swab that his cousin did. Like, that's a good thing that happened, but like that could happen in any degree. Like, you know what I mean? And just as likely, like, people get that conspiracy idea, like, what if I did 23andMe and then they're like, hey, we have your DNA in Wisconsin for a murder or something. You know, like, that's a more drab example, but it's totally, all of this stuff is feasible because we live in a time where anything's possible, really.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Steve Barnes incident?
No.
Steve Barnes was committed for murder and he didn't commit it. Or he was sentenced for murder. And
is this the guy on Netflix?
No, this is a local guy.
Oh, really?
This happened. So the murder happened back in 1985. Okay. And there was like a out by Commercial Drive, you know, where like Walmart is and stuff out over that way, where there's woods over in that way back in 85. And the kids used to go around there and hang out and stuff. And there was this murder that happened one night. Well, Steve Barnes was drinking and driving one night and there was a lineup because they were checking cars the day of the murder, the next day or the night of the murder, and Steve got a little scared because he was drinking and turned around and got out of line and then got caught. So they convicted him of the murder.
Wow. How long?
So, that was 1985. So he was in jail forever. He was in jail for 20-plus years, maybe 19, 20 years, right?
He's out?
Well, he's out now because of DNA.
Wow.
They did some DNA testing, and they found out that he didn't commit the murder, and the case is still a little bit up in the air. I think that the murderer is dead, and that's why they can't really close the case, is because the person who did originally killed the woman is dead. But, he was convicted on murder charges.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and
that's,
then he they released him. They released him, and now I mean, he's a member of society, but he's gone through a lot of stuff, man.
Oh,
he's gone through a lot of stuff.
How do you recover from that, being innocent?
You don't. And they threw a bunch of money at him and everything, and still, though, exactly. Yeah. How do you recover from all that?
That's lost time.
I know.
You lost, like, a third of your life.
But the technologies that are in process now, that it's unbelievable. Like you said, the guy whose cousin's DNA, and they got
and he was like, probably smooth. He's like, yeah, dude, no one's gonna catch me.
Yeah, and it's so precise nowadays. That's the thing.
It
really
is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to the point where they can tell you, you know, when you're just being conceived as in the womb, what genetic predispositions you're gonna have. Like, yeah, there's a really good chance he's gonna have nine toes or something. We can find that out.
It's, right,
it's amazing. Crazy.
I mean, we live in a time now where we've all lived during the entire mapping of the human genome. How astonishing is that? Yeah. We took every bit of DNA. We know the entire human genome. That's what the Human Genome Project was. And mm-hmm. What was it, 2014 we finished?
Yeah, it was 2014.
We know
it
all, 2014. All of every bit of the string of DNA. Now, granted, we don't know what each chunk does necessarily, what every allele, you know, where its location is absolutely to 100% T. But the fact that we've even mapped out our genome, like the fact that we're able to do something like catch a killer using his cousin's DNA, or the fact that we can acquit somebody 25 years after a murder, It really leaves me like jaw dropped to the floor. Like, where are we going to be in 20 years, man? When I'm still around at 40, 43. You know?
Yeah, 46 for me.
63. You
know? Yeah.
Take it easy, pal.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
The
Disruption Network is now nationally recognized.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we can promote to Times Square.
Yeah, just by thinking it.
That would be crazy. Yeah, can you imagine the generation of tomorrow is like the next generation? They'll be like
just sending thoughts.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Sending my thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. they're gonna live in like the post internet generation. That's post internet. I don't know what they'll call it.
AI.
Yeah, AI.
Well, let me ask you guys this: since we're talking about all this technology, how much of this technology do you believe is alien technology? Do you guys believe in aliens?
I do believe in aliens. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I believe there's that one great quote. There's two options in this world. Either we are alone in the universe or we aren't, and both are equally as scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that line because it's like
true.
Like I'm not so naive as to say this is the only rock that everything happened to work out for. No, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But do I think that something's been I believe we might have been visited by something that kind of just said, all right, we're light years ahead of these people. Let's just kind of leave them be, almost. That's my opinion.
Or let's take mad advantage of them.
Yeah, or that. I don't know. I don't know how much. I think there are very high. You get somebody like Elon Musk, Steve Jobs. You get those level.
Mm-hmm.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Those level of intellect of people, they could accomplish anything. So
I look at Mark Zuckerberg. I think he's an alien.
Mark Zuckerberg.
I think he's an alien. Look at him.
Lizard Zuckerberg. Right? Yeah. So many memes. Have you seen the memes?
Yeah.
Oh,
people think he's like a lizard king. He's like a alien.
Yeah.
I think he is. Tiger Woods, too. He's another one. I think Tiger Woods is an alien.
But he made a comeback.
I love Tiger.
He made a comeback.
Huge Tiger fan.
Why Tiger Woods, though?
The guy's unbelievable. I don't know. You know what it is? It's the one time he had that press conference, and it's right after the time the wife went nuts on him and started beating his clubs up on the windshield and stuff.
Yeah.
And he had a press conference like maybe a week after, and he just seemed so scripted.
Yeah.
But in his delivery, it just seemed like so computerized and scripted in the way he was putting things across. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it just seemed so scripted and computerized, and he was just sitting there straight-faced and everything. And I'm like, this motherfucker's an alien.
That's true. Oh, my God. Mark Zuckerberg? Okay, so Mark Zuckerberg, the way his mind operates is brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so like when he talks to you, after just one conversation, he'll know your motivations, what drives you, like your how you think, and he can kind of hack into that just from one conversation. Because he pays attention to all the little details from your body language, your eye movement, and like how you're like he knows how you work, so he can use that to his advantage.
Yeah. And that's what's awesome about like one guy I really admire is Elon Musk.
Yeah,
whatever he wants to do, he just does it. He's like, I think I'm just gonna make flamethrowers, and now he does that. I'm like, okay. So when he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, that was one I really liked. And that one blew up because he smoked weed on it.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, the guy who's making fucking Teslas smoke weed. Whatever, dude. He can do whatever he wants. Right. He's a genius. But, like, when you can see someone like that when they're talking, he will not respond. He'll just sit there and, like, his eyes will dart. And he's calculating and realizing, like, he's visualizing what he wants to say, you know. He's that precise in it. And, like, Zuckerberg, like, he looks like an alien and he gets all bug-eyed and he doesn't say anything right away because he's just like, now I have the answer. Like, it's almost like robotic with those types of people, those really ingenious level of people.
Yeah.
I admire.
Right. Which I think they're not from this earth.
They're robotic aliens.
Would you be surprised if this entire planet was just a major thought experiment? Like,
oh my God. Don't even start melting my brain.
Like, this entire thing that we call like life and Earth and all that stuff is just an experiment
for aliens.
Well, like they just say, let me manipulate these people, this group of people here, to see how they interact with that people.
Yeah. Let's divide these people from these people and let's watch them slug it out.
What do you guys know? The simulation hypothesis.
Yes.
No, I don't know.
What's all this? Right. So, like we were saying, going back to AI.
Okay.
The idea that in 100 years or 2,000 years from now, where technology is going to be is likely so advanced we can't even comprehend it.
Oh.
In fact, it's so advanced probably that one computer module could hypothetically run simulations of every instance of every occurrence of any action in the world. That's what someone thinks. There's going to be a grand computer that's so capable of performing like a simulation of the life in the sense that every character, every one of us does something slightly different, or every character does one character amongst the whole grand scheme of things does one thing different.
Whoa.
There's going to be a computer running these simulations. So if that's true, if there's a computer running infinite amount of simulations, isn't it equally as likely that I'm just a part of that simulation?
Right? It is.
And that there's only one real timeline that I'm just not a part of it. So that's like the simulation hypothesis, is that the likelihood of us being a simulation versus the one real timeline of the billions that's going on right now in the future is like slim to none. So we're just a simulation.
But who says that timeline is even real? Because right. What's the definition of real? Like, yeah. That's very arbitrary.
Dude, I feel it's like so, it's so arbitrary. Hallucinogenic mushrooms or something.
I mean,
I'm just like down on the rabbit hole.
No, but that's stuff, good. You know? That's good because, like, who says there's a true timeline? There could be multiple true timelines.
When you're trying to, like, grasp what the future will be like, it really is limitless. Yeah. So it's like I don't even try.
Do you guys watch superhero movies or like watch superhero
Avengers?
Have you heard of like, or superhero cartoons? Have you heard of Earth 3 and like Earth 1 and Earth 2? Like each
the multiverse.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm so like, not hip to any of that.
Oh my,
that's why I got you around, Bowie.
Yeah, I got you. Cause like okay, cause have you heard of, like, if you see the word there was a, you know, the Justice League?
Yeah.
You know, the Justice League.
Yeah, of course.
Like that.
Yeah,
sure. There was a Justice League cartoon. I forgot the name. It was when they saw the Earth 3 verse, like an alternate universe.
Yeah.
It's the Justice. There were two different ones. There was the Justice Lords, where they were like still heroes, but they were more like tyrannical and like tyrants.
Mm-hmm.
So like they pretty much made sure, like, they were like Big Brother, like 1994 type of Justice Lords. They were like dominant over the Earth. And then there was another one where it was like where it was role reversal. So like what's the main villain of Superman? What's his name? Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor was the superhero.
Ah,
and like all the villains were heroes, and all the heroes were villains.
Interesting.
So, like, there was Ultraman, which is the evil version of Superman. There was Superwoman, which is the evil version of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And they were, like, and all the superheroes were, you know.
So, the multiverse is, I don't claim to be a relative astrophysicist or anything like that. Einstein kind of theorized, if I'm recalling this correctly, which I'm pretty sure I am, is that like a black hole. We don't know what it is. It's just an all-consuming kind of an anomaly. It's like the event horizon, they'll call it, right? So some people believe that it bends space and time. We know that black holes exist because gravity itself bends around it, right? So if a black hole exists, even though it's something I can't see or measure right now, I know that the way light is curving as it passes by it, that it is a form of mass almost. So people think it bends space. That's what moving the light is, and time. So some people believe that it's almost like folding a piece of paper in half, and if you were to punch through it, you go to another dimension, another universe.
Right, a portal or something.
Yeah, so
right.
That's kind of what the multiverse idea is, that you just keep jumping through black holes, you'll keep going to different universes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm not an astrophysicist. I could be all bullshitting all that, but I'm pretty sure that's kind of like the understanding that I have of it.
That's I feel like that's how this country is in this black hole right now.
because
the stupidity level on this Earth right now is through the roof, and I have a feeling that we've gone through some kind of weird portal or some kind of black hole.
Where there's 170 genders, and nobody will give a damn about politics here, but if the Notre Dame burns, there's $600 million.
Oh my God. Can you imagine parenting in 2050?
No, I can't.
It's crazy.
I can't imagine parenting in 2019.
No, I mean,
crime syndicate.
I mean, the thing is, the 2020 elections are around the corner, so we're going to see in about a year.
I know.
How stupid we really are.
Yeah, we're going to see.
It's crazy because, like, everybody's like, oh my God, how amazing. There's a black hole. We now have a picture of it. And everybody accepted that. But there's still people who say the Earth is flat?
Yeah, I know.
How's that work, buddy?
Yeah. Flat it's earthers.
Flat earthers. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Yo,
And then okay, but the thing is, if you were to go to a black hole, you would die instantly because the gravity, the gravity is a lot.
Yeah, we don't have any way of even shining light through those.
Yeah, but. because it absorbs so much light that the gravity, like the space-time continuum, is like pushing on you. So it's gonna like completely. It's gonna break you. The gravity is gonna break you.
Yeah,
so
as soon as you have black holes, it's crazy to think about the future.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, I try not to and just keep going day by day. You know, just stay on my grind.
It's almost equally as crazy that we live in a time where both of those truths exist. Like,
true.
People all believe in the black hole and that it is now real, and we have a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And people also believe that the Earth is flat.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I saw that thing going around Facebook that they want to rename the black hole the Chris Cornell.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
I would be so into that.
Because Chris Cornell is the leader of Soundgarden. He wrote the song Black Hole Sun.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. Like, if they name it, I'd be like, yo, the Chris. Yeah. I'm going to jump into the Chris, bro.
Jump into the Cornell.
I'm going to jump into the Chris, bro. Oh, shit.
I'm all for it. I think that would be great.
That would be so cool. Like, if I could jump into the Chris, I just run into it. That would be so fun. That would be so fun, bro. It would be cool. And I would just tell all my friends, I'd be like, on Instagram, everything, be like, yo, I'm dropping it to the Chris right now. Yes, Check me out, bro.
Hey, Zach, Willie B is saying he saw that dude in a party at the Statelands once. I'm sure he's talking about you.
Oh,
you used
me?
To party at the Statelands back in the day.
Will, do I know you?
Maybe. I'm sure.
You saw me? Oh, probably. I used to party all the time in the Statelands.
Yeah.
I used to be like the, what would you call it?
The Stateland celebrity.
The consigliere of like Clayville gravel bed parties. Whoa. And Tassel Party, Tassel Hill and all that. So, hey, William, shout out to you, man. Thanks for recognizing me as that dude.
I feel like people don't do that anymore.
No.
You know, the backwoods parties.
Oh, they straight up filled in the gravel bed with
mounds
of dirt so we couldn't get back there. So that was the end of those days.
And back in the day, it used to be a thing. You go to the Statelands or you go out to the woods and you drag a keg of beer and you drag whatever.
And you somehow coordinate 50 people with pickup trucks to all get wood for like 2 hours with the burning.
Bonfire?
Yeah, huge.
Yo, dude. Do they still do that today?
Not as much, man. But like when I was younger, I mean, it would be of no ill thought to say, hey, it's Thursday night, let's get, you know, 50 pallets and 20 tires.
I
miss those days.
I wish I could do that now.
Yeah.
Because I'm so new to Utica still.
Yeah, so you're just from, like, the city area. So this is more rural than Buffalo.
Oh, shoot.
Is it more rural than from where you're from?
Well, the thing is, I grew up in the suburbs. So
you did?
Okay. I'm from Williamsville. So it's not like...
Oh, you're from Williamsville.
Williamsville, which is in Buffalo.
Right, right.
So, but I'm not too far from the city. Like, it's just like a 20-minute drive. So
this is a little more rural than what you're used to.
Oh,
yeah,
it is.
More country-ish.
It is. It is. Yo, like, I just want to have fun like this.
We got to show him the...
You got to show me...
We got to get him on a quad in a cornfield.
Oh, we can easily do that. That's no problem.
You got to.
I will. I will.
Oh, shoot. Yo, this is exciting, bro. She is exciting, man. I'm
Here's
so excited.
The thing with Bowie is, like, he's so kind of green to everything.
Yeah.
And my thing with Bowie is, like, we're going to take him out on some of our excursions this summer.
Do
and,
it!
And just to get his reaction on things.
Yeah. Oh, shit, man.
Let's make that.
We're taking him to Mowdown with us.
Oh, yo! Really? Yeah, come with us!
I'm going to be there.
Yo,
I'm going to Mowdown.
This shit is going to be good, bro. I'm excited, man. This shit is going to be so good, man.
So you've never really done a festival before, correct? Like an overnight camping thing?
Wait.
You've camped before, right?
I've camped before.
Yeah, like, but have you ever done a music festival where they're camping and
energy?
Yeah, I was in the Boy Scouts when I was younger.
Okay.
So I've camped before. I've camped several times. Music festival, I've done. Okay, so like I've done like not an overnight thing, but like maybe like for like from like 7 to 10 p.m.
Okay.
There was like a festival, and then there was like a movie show.
Well, I'm talking Thursday through Sunday, though.
Oh, I haven't done that.
Oh, yeah,
this will run the gauntlet on you, dude.
Oh shoot, this is gonna be so cool, bro. This is gonna be so cool. I'm excited. Yo, this shit is gonna be so
but
good, bro.
My whole thing is
good, bro.
My whole thing is to get his reaction.
I'm gonna lose my mind right now.
You're losing your mind right now.
I'll lose my mind right now because this is so cool, bro. This shit is so good.
I once told him about steamed dumplings at Peking, Tokyo, and he lost his fucking mind.
Yo, I did lose my mind right now because this shit is so good,
so
man.
This is the thing, to introduce him to a whole bunch of new stuff.
Dude, I'm excited.
And to document his reaction.
Yeah, document that shit, come man. Document it.
Come find me at Mo, dude. I want to get in on some of this.
Yo, have you... Okay, so like... So Mowdown is like with Mo's, the restaurant, right?
No, the band.
Oh, the band. Okay, I'm thinking Mo's. Okay.
They're like...
Okay, so you have the jam band world. You've heard of the Grateful Dead, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Have you heard of Phish?
Yeah, maybe.
Fish. Okay.
Oh, PH, yes, yes.
So
yes.
In the jam band world, you have Grateful Dead, you have Fish, and then you have Mo.
Oh, shit.
That's
wait,
how they
Mo,
kinda...
like with Spaz Medicine, the people who made Spaz Medicine. Oh, shit, yes, yes.
How do you know Spaz Medicine?
How the fuck?
Oh, motherfucker, yes, I know. Dude, I know Mo. My motherfucking
slow
Spaz
down.
Medicine.
Take a deep breath.
Sorry.
Just breathe. How do you know Spaz Medicine?
I have my really cool friend in college, he loves Mo.
Okay.
He told me about Spaz Medicine. I'm like, yo, I need to listen to that shit. So I turned it on, and from that point on, I listened to it every day for my sophomore semester, like second semester, sophomore year, I listened to Spaz Medicine all the time.
That's awesome, dude.
All right, so now you know what I'm talking about.
As soon as you said Mo, I'm like, wait, is that the same band that did Spaz Medicine?
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, this shit is so good. I'm so excited.
Dude, so we're going to have to, I want to collaborate. I want to get like a list of things we can put him through this summer.
Do it.
Like,
do
it. Idea. Yeah. I like this. I like this.
I'm talking like, you ever been like skydiving?
No.
All right, we're going to do that.
I know there's Syracuse skydiving. Is there one in Utica?
No, there's one in Syracuse.
I want to do it. Yo. Before we go jumping out of planes,
okay.
Let's start them off slow, okay?
I'm ready.
Let's start them off slow. Even before Mo Down, Saranac Thursday is coming up soon. So we'll get you to Saranac Thursday.
This Thursday?
No, it's coming up. It's every Thursday in the summertime.
Starting okay. Like
and then we got the Levitt Amp concert season that's happening. Beautiful. That's going on really soon. And then what else? We got the Boilermakers coming up.
We got
to make sure you're out at the Boilermaker.
Yeah.
So we have a bunch. And then we have Summerfest coming up in June. Two nights in June. June 13th and 14th.
Is there like Utica like events page for this?
Yeah, the Disruption Network.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
True. No,
duh.
True,
this is exciting. I should have thought of that.
That and on top of all the other things we got going on. So we're going to have you really busy this year.
I look forward to it,
And Zach, great idea, man. Let's Bandage is saying you better bring a tranquilizer gun.
Yo, do it.
I want them all freaking hyper and shit.
Dude, I love like...
I think we should collaborate with him.
Yeah. No, we should all collaborate to... Like
absolutely,
a tri collaboration,
and we do a whole bunch of reaction videos on Bowie
of things that you've never done before. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're gonna call it Bowie Surprise or something.
Yo,
you know, like,
okay, we need to. All right, so okay, this is exciting.
No, here's what we do. Okay, not to interrupt you, but I have a great idea.
Oh no, it's fine. All
right,
it's fine.
We're gonna call it like the Bag of Bowie or something, and we're just gonna put a bag of fucking ideas in there. We're gonna pull one out, and we gotta do it that week.
Oh my god.
Okay.
This will be so
or at least
fun.
Plan for it or something, all right?
Oh my god.
Yeah, we're
like
gonna do
this will be so like and then we'll put on the D. We'll put it on the D.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my we'll spread, this will be fun. Yeah. Like we could do IGTV.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We promote it to the Disruption Network YouTube channel. But then after we promote it, we do an Insta Live. We're like, yo, check out this reaction. We can do a mini reactions on the Disruption Network Instagram.
I love it.
This would be huge. And then we can just be like, here's a snippet of what we did on the YouTube. Check it out at the D. And that would be so
awesome.
Cool, man.
Like
that would be
so you're
awesome.
Open to doing all these new experiences,
right?
Man. Yeah. Which, you know, these are like everyday things for me. And so it just becomes like everyday routine, normal, but this year is going to be different. It's going to be special because now we're actually bringing somebody in who's green, who's never really experienced a Saranac Thursday.
Never. We could do that with like Utica Foods too, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure you never had like a Half Moon or anything.
So yeah, let's.
Oh yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Wait, Half Moon.
What Utica Foods have you eaten so far?
Pizza Boys.
That's
I there's Pizza Boys. Like oh my god, the Boom Boom Sauce. I've had Kitties. Yo, Kitties
Boom Boom Sauce.
Kitties Boom Boom Sauce. Oh my god, I love Kitties.
So you've never had Chicken Riggies yet?
At the Devereaux, I think. Were they at the Devereaux? The Devereaux get together?
Did you guys have some there?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe we did.
I don't remember.
I can't remember
either. If they were at the Devereaux.
Oh, that's right. We had the buffet at the Devereaux.
That's why I said if they were at the Devereaux, then yes. If not, then no.
Oh, okay.
So he's had cannolis. Every time he comes in here,
Yeah. Oh, shit. Cannolis. We got to have some more, bro. We got to have that.
And I got to tell he had something today, too, that I gave him. Yeah. My good friend Josh Amodio came in on Monday, gave me a jar of sausage and oil.
Can we bring it in? Can we bring it in?
You go get some.
I'm gonna bring it in for the guests.
Yo, I'll take a bite.
This is
it's like pickled sausage.
He went nuts eating this today.
Oh man,
he devoured it.
You ever meet him? He goes nuts. It's awesome.
I do love his energy. Yeah, I do.
So are you going to any other?
It looks like this people's.
Yo, can I try one?
Best yeah, in the world, sure. Man. Help yourself, man.
I don't want to eat on radio. I'm going to try one.
It's, okay. It's a little spicy. Grab yourself a paper towel, though, because it's really oily.
This is amazing.
Are you going to any other venues for, like, festivals or anything?
I'm booked for 40 concerts this summer.
40?
Well, really? I work in the concert industry.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a bunch.
Wow,
in fact,
awesome.
We start really, really soon. In fact, my first show is May the 4th. At the Lost Horizon with Brand New Sin, the Brand New Sin reunion. I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, may the Star Wars. Be with you.
That's the first one. In fact, I bought tickets to that show because they're my boys and stuff. But then they're like, "Hey, man, can you work this?" And I'm like, "All right, so I'll work it."
Cool.
But then we got Get the Lead Out. It's happening at the Saranac Brewery. That's May 18th.
Sweet.
And then there's like 10 different shows at the brewery this summer.
Yeah.
On top of we do all the production at the State Fair and then SI Hall, Paper Mill Island,
awesome.
Good Nature Brewery. So we're really, really busy this summer.
Right on, dude. That's awesome.
I have a really good idea, but continue.
Yeah. I was going to say, I saw Blues Traveler coming. They were supposed to come last year, but didn't they?
Last year. Yep.
I missed it. I really want to see that guy. He just rails on the harp.
He does.
But other than that, I only have...
Great band.
I think I only have one. I'm scheduled to go Kerfuffle. You ever hear of that in D.C.?
What is it?
Kerfuffle.
No.
It's a freaking weird name, right? It's going to be Greta Van Fleet, Young the Giant... I want to say the Revivalists as well.
Great band.
Amazing band. I'm glad you've heard of them. They're like a New Orleans, Louisiana jam band.
We got them at Paper Mill Island this year.
Shut up.
Yep. They're playing in Paper Mill Island. I want to say it's May 17th or 18th or something like that.
Wow. That's awesome.
Great band.
I'm really excited to see them. Yeah, it's like a one day. It's like Sunday, May 19th down in D.C.
One day
festival kind of thing. And so that's like the only one I had lined up. And you saying that kind of sparked me. But speaking of doing like on scene stuff, I'm hoping... Stay tuned for the Lost Guidance podcast updates. I'm hoping to be doing an on-scene kind of before and after the festival. Like, yeah, here's our energy. And then, like, 3 in the morning when I get back to the hotel room, I'm like, I'm freaking totaled, man. So that would be kind of fun.
And the power of this right here, man.
Right.
You can do it. You know, whether you don't need a huge, elaborate setup.
That's
all you
true.
Do is you got your phone.
Yeah.
You don't need to bring all your gear out anymore.
I know. And it's amazing how far, like, quality of cameras and microphones have come on a cell phone.
Seriously. Yeah.
Even something as simple as, like, I was going to take a selfie with my guest the other day, and I didn't realize I had this thing. It's set up so, excuse me, if you just put your hand up, it'll, like, track your hand, and then you put your hand down, and you have 3 seconds, and it'll take your picture. So, like, my palm is recognized. It's like my go-to. It's like my saying, I'm ready to take the picture now.
Really?
And I didn't know I had it on my phone. I did it. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Neat feature.
Like, we're in the future. Yeah, and this is,
amazing.
A Galaxy S7. This is no top-of-the-line thing, so it's kind of awesome to see.
I didn't know that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you guys got to check it out.
Excellent.
So then I'm like, how? You know?
What are you doing the week after May 4th? May the 4th is the Star Wars, right?
The Star Wars. Yeah, I'm booked at night. But
I'm thinking, I have an idea.
The following week is
the following week.
There's a couple things going on. I got to check the calendar.
Okay, because I'm thinking we should do a Star Wars podcast.
Yep, let's do it.
Oh, that would be fun.
Because I just read about the origins of the Jedi and how they came to be.
Uh-oh.
Like that, we're gonna save that for the Star Wars podcast.
All right, I mean, you got the the trinkets.
We can't do a Star Wars podcast without Todd, my partner over here.
Todd, okay, cool.
Huge
does
Star Wars. He just came back from the Star Wars convention in Chicago. He was just there this past weekend.
Have you heard his thoughts? And we could put this on the show, but that would be cool to kind of discuss the new trailer that came out and what we all think. Because I think the best part of that trailer is at the end, the Emperor's laugh. Like,
yes.
That like got me hooked. So I'm really excited to see the episode 9.
Yo.
Real quick on Star Wars, what do you guys think is going to happen on this one? I don't think Luke is really dead.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I think he's dead in the sense of like how Yoda was dead and clearly interacted with Luke and burned the Temple of the Jedi down. With lightning.
You think so?
I think so, because he just, like, the way his cloak vanished, I think he went into, like, the other realm that Jedis can access.
I think he's a Force ghost.
He's a Force ghost.
I don't think he's dead at all. I think he's so powerful that he wasn't even really there.
He wasn't even on the island.
He wasn't even on the island.
Son of a bitch.
That's my theory, is, like, he wasn't even on that island when he died.
So he was both...
He's so powerful that he could project himself in other places.
Right. Mm. So do you think this is the rise of Skywalker, meaning him, or do you think Rey is a Skywalker?
I think Rey's a Skywalker.
I also think Rey's
a lot of people say that Rey... I mean, a lot of people say either Rey is a Skywalker or Palpatine or Kenobi. Like there are three theories.
Kenobi was definitely one I heard.
Or Palpatine.
So there's no she's not a daughter of Han and Leia.
Kylo Ren says no, the Kylo Ren is is Han and Leia.
Right, right. But you don't think maybe there was a...
we don't know about her yet.
Right.
Kylo Ren just says, I know your family. And when they're doing the Force connection in episode 8,
yeah.
He's like, I know your family. They were just worthless traitors. He's like, you know this to be true. And he like gets in her head. But then we find out later in that episode, the evil chancellor at the time, that Emperor Snoke. Playing those mind tricks. I was connecting you. So it's feasible to say that he made Kylo Ren say that, you know? Yeah. So it's possible. I think it's very possible that Rey is a Skywalker.
Yeah.
That's my theory, too.
Yeah. She's probably a Skywalker or Palpatine, maybe. One of the other two.
I think it's too late to introduce that
Obi-Wan is too
that
late.
That Luke had a kid or something. Like, I think it's too late for that. Yeah. You've already said.
I think so, too, right?
He went to the temple and was training. Like, you already said that. You can't go back now and say, oh, yeah, he knocked someone up in the 15th.
Unless they do like some flashbacks or something.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be outside J.J. Abrams to do some crazy shit that quick.
But when they expect that around Christmas time, right?
Christmas. Yeah.
But J.J. Abrams didn't direct episode 8.
No, he didn't. That's why 7 was so good.
7 was so good.
8 sucked.
7 was too safe. They played it safe because it's so much like A New Hope.
Yeah.
It's like pretty much.
7, they played safe. They killed Han Solo in 45
minutes. No, I mean, yeah. But like other than that, it was like pretty much like New Hope. They played it way too safe.
Yeah,
and then 8, in my opinion, was like, what were they thinking? Like, what?
I know, when he starts milking that thing on the rocks. I'm like, he lost.
Yeah.
And then what's her face does the Superman in reverse.
Yeah, that was a little tacky.
Yeah. Flies back in.
But my favorite, though, out of the whole new franchise of Star Wars, Rogue One.
Oh, me too.
Rogue One. And in fact, I put Rogue One right up there with like Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Empire's like my favorite Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then,
but the Rogue One, I put right. I thought it was incredible.
That was incredible.
I agree with you 100%.
And how it ends right at the second of where episode 4 would otherwise start, I was like, oh, my God, yeah. Fucking nailed it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yo, I agree with you, man. Like, yo, this is so good, man. I'm so excited. And like there was, I haven't seen the Solo movie. Was that good?
Yeah.
Was it good? I haven't seen the Solo movie.
They had one interesting. I mean, it was an okay storyline. It was just kind of like unnecessary.
I watched it once. I'll go back and watch it again just to see.
Oh, it was how was it underwhelming.
Yeah.
The one part that was cool was the end. They showed Darth Maul is still alive.
Yeah.
Oh, so even though he got cut in half in the episode 1 by Obi-Wan Kenobi after he killed Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah.
So you know where they left off with
that. He walks in with prosthetic fake legs.
Yeah.
And so he didn't actually sever him in half. He just cut his
legs off. Actually show that live action.
They show Darth Maul speaking with fake legs as a hologram speaking to somebody in the Han Solo story.
Wow.
You'd have to watch it, but that's the only thing I thought was like really like, oh, that's kind
of
cool.
My other favorite part of that movie is when he first meets Chewbacca.
Oh yeah.
I love that. I love that.
I gotta see it.
You gotta see it. Check it out.
Netflix. You gotta check it out.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah.
Shit.
Speaking of Netflix, what are you guys binge watching right now?
Oh man.
On Netflix.
Game of Thrones. I just got into
it. Yeah. So, you just got into it?
2 weeks ago, Brad Pino, you remember, coworker Brad, he goes, dude, you've never seen Game of Thrones? And I'm like, no, you fucking nerd. You know? Whoa. Busting his chops, calling him a nerd, and I'm like, yeah, all right, I hear it. And he's like, here, I'll give you the whole 1-6 on the DVD box set. And he goes, I burned you 7. Here's 1-7. If you want to watch it, go ahead. All right, thanks.
I need to see it.
So I check it out. You've never seen it?
I've seen. I'm surprised.
Oh, my
no,
God.
I mean,
Bo,
I haven't.
You'd love it.
I haven't gotten around to it. Well, I actually saw one episode.
It's kind of in your wheelhouse.
I got to see it. Yeah. It's not on Netflix, right?
No, it's
on
only on HBO. That's what got me. I didn't want to buy an HBO subscription.
Yeah.
So I was
like, me too. I didn't want to buy
it. I tried it out. And I'm like, you know, a few episodes in, I'm like, oh, all right, I get it. It's like, I like medieval and like English history and stuff. I'm like, I get that, but it's a little bit of magic mixed in. I don't like something that's like crazy magic. Like I never really got into Lord of the Rings and all that.
Yeah.
Or Harry Potter. I never really
watched Harry Potter.
But I was like, all right, I get it. And then like I finished season 1. I'm like, that was pretty good. And like finished season 2. I'm like, oh, wow, this is getting good. And then I'm like, 2 weeks and I do 7 seasons. And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, dude. And I'm like whoa, bags under my eyes, hair falling out. I'm like, must have more Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
dude. It's so good.
Now I need to binge watch this shit.
And that's one of the ultimate binge watching programs.
I need to binge watch.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been watching it since day one.
What do you think of last Sunday's episode?
Okay, so did you? So you're caught up.
I'm caught up, and I followed it.
I mean, last Sunday's episode was epic, and then you got more. You got one more that's only going to be like an hour long. And then after that,
the fall of Winterfell.
Then there's. Every episode is feature length.
Yeah.
So they're going to be hour and a half, 2 hour episodes.
Yeah.
And it's going to be epic. I mean, you're starting to see things unfold. And I mean, I've got my theories.
I also do, but I was watching, because now I'm down the rabbit hole with it. All the late night episodes, all the characters, all the actresses and actors are doing. And they're like, everybody's like, all right, tell us a little bit. Can you tell us anything? And they're like, no. They're like, all right, well, just tell us your reaction. And every single one of them all said the same thing. I read it. I was extremely shocked. Nothing was the way I thought it would end. And then I cried. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, if that's what the people who are doing it said, I'm not even going to be able to come close to a guest.
They said the very last day on set was so emotional. Like, everybody on set was crying.
You want to know why? You want to know my prediction?
Yeah, go ahead.
Everyone dies and the White Walkers win.
You think so?
I think the White Walkers win. Because never in before of history has a show ended with the worst of the worst winning. And I'm like, that's George R.R. Martin. He would do that.
I can't wait. Now I need to see this shit.
It's amazing.
I need to see this shit, bro. I need to see that.
That's your theory, huh?
Yeah, what do you think?
Oh, I got a lot of theories, actually. I think the Night King's a Stark.
Oh, yes.
I think he's a Stark.
No. I'll say that or a Targaryen because only Targaryens can ride dragons, and he rode the dead one.
Well, that's a good theory.
But continue.
That's a good theory. I think he's a Stark. I think everybody is going to die.
You do?
I really do. And I think Jon Snow turns into a White Walker.
And just runs the army himself?
And just, well, we'll see. But, you know, we make all these predictions, and I don't care how many times you make a prediction or even change up your prediction, it's not even going to be close to what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's the genius of George R.R. Martin.
Yeah. The only I knew, like with this series, and you'll know when you start watching
it. Oh, yeah.
Because you can get a Hulu subscription and buy HBO add-ons and stuff if you want to take that route. It's a little cheaper.
It's cheaper than okay, all right.
But, like, going through it, I'm like, I would, like, see a character and be like, yeah, they're probably going to die. That's, like, as far as you can get into reading into that show.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the twists and turns, and it's like, who's related to who, and where did they come from, and, like, you know, one little knife made it from episode one till the end of season eight, and it's like, what's the significance of that?
So yeah.
It's kind of really interesting shit. Dude.
There's going to be a thing where somebody's going to kill somebody in order to save mankind
type
of thing, you know? And, I'm thinking that Jaime Lannister kills Cersei.
I agree.
You think so, too?
Cersei's in it, like from Greek mythology?
That's where she got her name.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind
of all of the names and everything. It's based on, like, fictional old England.
Oh, okay.
So everything's very much like monarchical, you know.
Oh, yeah, like feudalism. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know that. I know that. I thought I know that. I thought you meant they took... I thought you meant, like, Cersei from Greek mythology is in it. Okay. So you got her name.
It's just a name.
Yeah.
See how smart he is?
She's smoking
Oh, by the way...
You think so?
I do.
Yeah.
By the way, did you hear, speaking of Netflix, did you hear Disney's announcement?
Yeah,
they're stream. No, they're stream. They launched their own streaming service.
Yeah,
really.
They did.
So then
they're
when that
in the
so,
game.
So wow. that means they removed all the Disney movies from Netflix and Marvel and everything and anything related.
That's
to Disney.
Why Marvel didn't get renewed on anything.
So it's gonna be released in November, and it's called Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And did you hear the big announcement?
So like $6.99 for the month or something like that.
Yeah, and so when that happened, Netflix's stock took a nosedive.
Wow. Oh yeah.
Like that's Netflix's what stock. For kids and stuff.
So like Netflix's movies. Stock took a nosedive, and then now Disney Plus is coming. They're gonna have everything from Marvel, ESPN, all the Disney cartoons since like the 1940s are gonna be in it.
Wow.
Anything Disney, absolutely anything from like the whole Disney.
That's smart. It's a good move on their part.
Like, and you know how Disney purchased like all these studios, like a lot of stuff, like everything, like
Studio 10 for Marvel,
everything,
all
like
of those.
Disney has so many things, so they can put it on the streaming service, and so it's like now Disney's a direct competitor to Netflix, and
not only that, crazy. like you said, because it's crazy that only like eight conglomerates own all of television and all of the streaming, and everything you see is like eight companies.
True,
Disney being a huge proprietor of one of those because they have ESPN, and I used to watch like Hulu Live has this add-on. It's like $40 a month,
mm-hmm.
and you get all live television, like. You get like 50 local stations and ESPN and all this. Well, now, what's the point of buying Hulu Live if I'm going to get Disney Plus and I can watch my ESPN games and stuff?
Yeah.
That means Hulu must have. I haven't looked.
Yeah, like, Hulu
plummeted as well.
Dude, wait, you use Hulu a lot?
That's my top one.
I use my family Netflix a lot too, because my family we have like a family Netflix that we use, so like I can just watch stuff and my family takes care of like the Netflix subscription. It was amazing. Yeah. I've been using it since 2015, but I really like the fact that there's so much like diversification, like so many more options.
Yeah.
Continue. You were about to
say? I would say this would be the time to buy Netflix if you're looking to invest, since the stock is plummeting. You buy low, buy low, because you know they're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to go anywhere. But it's going to bring their price for all time lows.
They're going to come. That'd
be
the
a
next
great
big
time.
Thing.
Exactly.
You know what? I think the next big thing is you watch a lot of Netflix recently.
Oh yeah.
You see the U versus Wild.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
U versus Wild. Bear Grylls now has an interactive.